Good evening and welcome to Take Aim. My name is Denny Wilson and I'm the preacher for the Parkview Church of Christ in Odessa, Texas. If you happen to be coming through our area or if you're moving to our area and you're looking for a church home, we'd love to help you. We'd love to meet you, worship with you, and serve God together. We are located on the corner of Park Boulevard and West County Road in Odessa, Texas, 1700 Park Boulevard. Please come by and let me know if I can help you in any way. If you're looking for a church home in your part of the world, or you're looking with someone to study the Bible with, let me know and I'll be glad to help you find someone in your area, or I'll help you any way that I can. My email address is roydw3@aol.com. That's roydw3@aol.com. We're glad that you're here tonight. We're going to be studying a new subject matter for a few weeks. We're going to be studying the book of Philippians. Get your Bible ready, take out your notebook and your pencil, and follow along. I know you'll be edified. But we're glad that you're here with us here today. We're going to be studying from the book of Philippians. We have been doing a study for quite some time now on the book of Philippians, and we're going to take in Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, our lesson for the day. So I hope you'll follow along with that and enjoy this lesson together. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 9. All right, I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Philippians 4, verse 9. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. All right, so let's talk about this verse in particular. These are marching orders to the faithful. And as we see in verse 8 that we studied in our previous lesson on the book of Philippians, we have to have the right thinking. We have to have the right thought process. Paul encouraged the brethren to have the right mental process. They were to think on or meditate on, think on those things that are right. He said that are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, anything of good report, anything virtuous, anything praiseworthy. Meditate or think on these things. The Christian life requires us to have right actions. There's no doubt about that. But it's insufficient for us to think like a Christian and yet act like the world. The two have to go together. Our thinking and our actions must coincide. And so as we see him move into verse 9, Paul's going to make this very clear. The things that you've been thinking about, you have to apply them to your life. And so as we look at these things, I want you to understand, Paul says, I'm an example that you can follow. These are some things that you can do. These are some benefits that you will gain by following the Christian life. And so he encourages them to think on the right things, to follow the teaching of God, but also to practice them. And so he's showing them a better way. So as we get into verse 9, what we notice is we move from right thinking to right teaching. He says, the things which you've heard. Now, he's talking specifically about Paul's preaching and teaching. And in fact, the things he had heard, they had heard about him when he wasn't with them. All of those things are brought into this idea. But if you remember, Paul telling the church at Ephesus through their elders in Acts 20 and verse 20, that he had kept nothing back for them that was helpful, but proclaimed it publicly and from house to house. In fact, a few verses later in verse 28, it said that he had not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God. So Paul was preaching and teaching the things that they needed to hear. He had taught them the gospel. It was preached. It was received. It's where they stood. It's what saved them. It's what they would hold fast unless they believed in vain. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 and 2. And so they had heard the truth. Secondly, he says, the things which you have learned. What did they learn? Well, they learned God's word. You know, today in our world, too many people are trying to learn all kinds of things, supposedly with the idea of having a better life. But the truth is, to have the life that God expects you to have and intends for you to have, you have to go to his word. We need to hear the word of God. And so they learned.
Now, this is a point that it shows the activity of the one being taught. They have learned. They have accepted it. They heard it. They were able to apply it. They were able to understand it. So the word that he taught is the word that came directly from Jesus. He learned individually from Jesus. Galatians chapter 2 teaches us. He also had the Holy Spirit's inspiration, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. He also had the understanding that this word that Jesus taught him, that the Spirit delivered to him, were the things of the Father. It was God's plan from the beginning, John 12, verse 48 through 50. And so we'll be judged by those words, and it's not our words, it's God's word. And so we're grateful that they were able to learn the word of God, which is able to save our souls, James 1 and verse 21. Next, they had seen him. They had seen him. Now, they saw him in the sense of his example while he was with him, and they also heard of his life when he wasn't with them. Even now, as he writes, they have the example that he's been in prison. He's absent from them, and yet they're still able to see what a great example he was. They saw his actions when he was there. They saw what he had done in Acts 16 as he preached and taught the gospel and dealt with the persecution and established the congregation there in Philippi. He was a man who practiced what he preached. His teaching and his life and his actions went together. The things he taught were evident in his life, and he was expecting others to do the same thing. That's why he would tell the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. We ought to be those who imitate Jesus and follow his plan. In fact, he would encourage Timothy to be one that others could follow. In 1 Timothy 4:12 through 16, he said, be an example to the believers. And he lists many ways in which he could do that. We talk about that passage more often, but you know, he said the same thing to Titus, but in just a little bit different words. In Titus 2, verse 7 and 8, he encouraged Titus saying, in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, that is to be an example, a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say about you. You see, he was an example. He was a pattern for others to follow. And if these brethren here in Philippi would follow the pattern of Paul and would imitate Christ, they can have a life where their preaching, the things they say, and their actions, the things they do, match up. They work together. They won't be a hypocrite, pretending to be something they're not. They will be here as faithful Christians, and they will impact the world for good. So follow Paul's example. And if they would do that, they would grow from infancy, as they were at this time, to maturity, where they were faithful and strong and sound and would be able to be what God would have them to be. The next thing he tells them is that they had received it. They had received it. They had heard, they had seen, they had learned, and they had received. This word means to receive alongside. It's putting the things together that he's already talked about. There was the teaching of Paul, and they were to take it and put it alongside the example of Paul and take these ideals as an example for how you bring your life into harmony with what Paul was teaching. You bring your life alongside of the example of Paul. You bring your life alongside of the teaching of Paul. Now, listen, there's more to say about this, but I have a very important question for you. If you were to take your life this very moment and compare it to the Apostle Paul and all that he has done, would you match up? If you took the teachings of Paul, he wrote half of the New Testament books. Luke wrote most of the New Testament words, but Paul wrote most of the New Testament books, half of them. Could you match up to his teaching? I already know the answer. None of us would be confident in saying, I'm exactly what Paul is. But folks, we need to make sure we get rid of the sin in our lives. We need to repent of our sin and come clean to God and then live our lives bringing it alongside of God's word and the examples that have been laid out before us, whether Titus or Timothy or Paul or Jesus. We need to follow this pattern in how we live our lives. And so he says, take these things and receive them. Now, when we talked about learned, it points to the hearer and how he receives the word. When we see the word received, it points to the teacher and his activity. You're able to observe his pattern, and you're able to take these things, the words and the actions, and write them in our own hearts and lives. That's the idea here. So Paul is telling them to make these eternal truths internal truths for their own lives. Follow these godly principles. Now, the brethren in Philippi had come from a rough background, and we don't have time to go back and talk about all the things that were prevalent in Philippi, but it was a wicked city. It was one through which the Roman government exerted a lot of its power and carried out a lot of its power, and there was wickedness from the people that were going through the area. It was not a great place to live. And yet, these brethren had come out of the world, and they were trying to live a Christian life. Even though they had become a Christian not too long in the past, he's telling them they need to continue to live as a Christian, and that they can grow as a Christian, they can be morally pure as a Christian, and they can bring forth a harvest for God. They needed to become one who was a faithful child of God. They needed to reach maturity. How do they do that? By receiving it. The idea is they become mature. They put these things into practice. How do you do that? Well, you have to make it habits. And so that's what we're going to talk about next. We saw in verse 8 the right thinking. Think on or meditate on these things. We saw in the start of verse 9 the right teaching. And now in the second part of verse 9, before we get to the end of verse 9, the second part of verse 9 talks about the right training. They were to put these things into practice in their lives. The word here for training, the word for practice, the word for imitate and carry out these words is an important one. It involves the idea of making these principles a part of our daily habits. It's our daily application. It's our daily practice. And so he says in the New King James, it says, these do. It means practice these things. These things do. It's the idea of an accomplishment that's repeated over and over and over until the action becomes natural. Now, we use this kind of training all the time with our children. We use it all the time when we talk about sports and hobbies. The first time you ever tried to do something, let's say you were trying to do woodworking. I remember when I was in junior high, we had a class that we did some woodworking, and we made a birdhouse. Did you ever make a birdhouse? Well, it didn't look like a birdhouse. It was some wood that was nailed together and painted, but it wasn't straight, and the holes weren't perfect, and the nails weren't, it wasn't square. You know what that needed? It needed practice. And you know, there are some people that went in that class that probably make beautiful masterpieces today. Same thing with welding. We started out making a toolbox. I got where I was pretty good at welding. But the fact of the matter is, whatever it is you're doing, whether it's a sports or a hobby or an activity, the more you do it correctly, the more you train in the accomplishment. And people say, man, I don't know how I could do what you do. Yes, you just start doing it. The first time, it might not be as good as you like. But the more you do it, the better you're going to be. The first time you make a recipe, you may mess it up. But if you keep making it, you'll be a master at that recipe. The Christian life is something that requires daily practice. You can't just do it on Sunday. You won't remember what you're supposed to do. You won't have the muscle memory. You won't have the training in place to be ready when you're asked to perform. You have to do it on a daily basis. And so it's about practice. You know, years ago, there were a couple of different incidents, one in the NFL and one in the NBA, where people said, practice, practice. Well, yes, folks, practice. Every day you need to be a faithful child of God. It needs to be something that becomes a habit with you. And if you'll do that, you'll be like Paul and you'll be like the Philippian brethren in doing these things. So we have the right thinking, we have the right teaching, we have the right training. Next, what we need is the right tranquility. Tranquility is a word for peace, and Paul uses a very common benediction for him. You can see this same phrase in Romans, in 2 Corinthians, in 1 and 2 Thessalonians. He says at the end of this verse, and not only these do, but he says, and the God of peace will be with you. Don't we need the God of peace? Boy, that is a blessing for sure to have the God of peace with us. And so if you think that you understand peace, you probably don't fully get it. None of us really fully understand the peace of God. But let's talk about these things. You know, if we think as we should, if we live as we should, if we train as we should, and our life is a habitual Christian life, then we're going to have tranquility. The God of peace will be with us. So these brethren were facing persecution. They were facing hardship. They were facing affliction, and it was going to get more severe. Paul has already warned them that the things that they've endured was going to get harder and harder and harder. So they needed some assurance that they could be faithful and remain faithful. And if you'll do that, you'll have the blessing of God. You'll have the peace of God. Now in verse 7, we learn that the peace of God is available to all Christians. It's the peace of God in verse 7. And that's a peace that the world doesn't understand. It's beyond reason. But it's a peace that comes from God. Now, when we get to this verse, it's not the peace of God. It's the God of peace. So in one instance, you have the Christian life produces peace in your life. On the other instance, you have the God of peace, the source of peace, is with you. So the fruit of the right life brings you peace, and because you have the right life, God is with you, which ought to give you even more peace. You ought to be a peaceful person. The world is in turmoil right now. Are you acting like the sky is falling, or is your confidence trusting in and living for God? That's the question. Do you have peace from God, and do you have the God of peace? We have the source. He's a protector by our side if we will walk faithfully in the Word of God. Brethren, let's follow the example of Paul. Let's practice what we preach. Let's learn the lessons and do them. Do you know in Acts chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, when Luke was there writing to excellent Theophilus, he started to talk about Jesus. And he dealt with those things of all that he both began to do and to teach. You see, Christ practiced what he preached. Paul practiced what he preached. We have to practice what we preach. We have to live the Christian life, and then the God of peace will be with us. But you know, a lot of people claim to be Christians, and yet they're not very faithful. In Luke 6 and verse 46, Jesus asks this very question. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Why do you claim to be a Christian and yet live like the world? Why do you claim to be a follower of God and yet you choose the path of unrighteousness? Think about these things, brethren. You could find a great statement in John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. So most of the world, most of the United States of America claims that they love Christ. And yet, you can look around and quite easily see that most of America does not obey Christ. 1 John 5 and verse 3, we learned that his commandments are not grievous. He says, if you love me and if you love the brethren in verses 1 and following, you will be obedient. And he says, they're not grievous. They're not too hard to keep. You can do this. You can be a faithful child of God. The question is, will you? And so he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? There's a beautiful statement in Revelation 22 and verse 14. Blessed are those who do his commandments. Now listen, the world says you don't have to obey, and yet Jesus, through John, says blessed are those who do my commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in the gates of the city. Now I'm not going to go on into the rest of the discussion, but you know what he says? He says that if you don't keep his commandments, you don't have the right to the tree of life. you're going to have eternal punishment. And you cannot come into the gates of the city. You can't go to heaven. Do you want to go to heaven? Listen, if you're on Zoom or Facebook, wherever you are, if you're reading this or listening to this today, in the January 10th study of the Bible in the year 2021, fantastic, be obedient. If you're listening to this 20 years from now, fantastic, but you have to be obedient. You will not go to heaven being unfaithful. So Paul tells these brethren at Philippi, practice these things, do these things, live them. Let your life be a habitual show that you are a child of God and you will be blessed. You see, when we have the right thinking combined with the right teaching and we go through the right training, it will provide us with the right tranquility. We will have the peace of God and the God of peace in our lives. There's a statement that I read that I thought I needed to share with you today, and it says this: one who stands fast in the Lord will have the God of peace with him now and forever. So the question is, are you standing fast in the Lord? Are you a soldier in the Lord's army? Have you seen it and heard it and received it and learned it? Are you doing it? Folks, we have to be faithful, and if we'll do that, we get the God of peace. Regardless of what's going on in society today, regardless of the crumble of the moral strength that once made this nation what it had become, these things are crumbling. But folks, the church cannot crumble. The church cannot be shaken. The church will be what God intends it to be when we follow the word that He's laid out. We're not going to back down. Morality is not going to leave the church because the church will be pure and holy. It will be the bride of Christ. The question is, will I be a part of that pure and holy bride? You see, I've got to do His will. If I do not, there are consequences. God is the God of peace only to those who are and who continue to follow the word of God. Only the faithful are at peace with God. The world's in turmoil because they don't know God. That's the truth. But if they would think the right way, if they would follow the right teaching, if they would make these things a habit in their lives, then they would have the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. And more than that, they would have the God of peace, who would be with them, who would listen to their prayers, and would help them on their journey to those shores of heaven someday. The question this morning is this: are you at peace? If you're not at peace today, something's wrong in your life. You need to know Christ, the power of His blood, and the hope of eternal life that He provides. There is no other way to be a faithful child of God than to follow His plan. I know the world says there's a million ways to come to God. That is not true. There's only one way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." John 14 and verse 6. There is no other way but Jesus. If you need to know more about that way today, let us know. We'll be glad to study with you. We'll be glad to show you what the Bible says. We'll set up a Bible study with you in your home or in a public place or at my home or at the church building. We'll be glad to study the Bible and show you what God says you need to do in order to have peace, have your sins forgiven, and to be a part of the church, the bride of Christ, which someday will hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." If you're not at peace today, there's a problem. So let's eliminate the problem. Let's get rid of the sin and get right with God. If we can help you in any way, please let us know.
I'm thankful that you were here with us tonight, and I invite you to come back next week on Thursday night at 7 o'clock as we continue this study of the book of Philippians. We appreciate you being with us tonight. We invite you to always give us a call or send me an email if you have questions. We want to help you any way that we can. This is Denny Wilson. My email address is roydw3@aol.com. Thank you so much for listening to Take Aim.